We're thinking this lunchtime about, is peace possible? And I guess many of you will know these lyrics well. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. That's imagined by John Lennon, one of the most famous songs ever sung. But the question is it possible? Is that possible? It says there, all the people living life in peace. Is that possible? It says their last line, the world as one. Is that possible? There's no denying that today loads and loads of organisations in this world are working to promote peace. And it's not just the Miss World competitions, is it? Lots of people are wanting world peace. I mean, take my previous job. I had quite a lot to do with promoting peace in my previous job, and you'll be glad to hear it had nothing to do with Miss World competitions either. I used to be a management consultant, and the main part of my role was working with the World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum, they get together the top business leaders and politicians and academics in the world. And so I went to lots of those meetings, not because I was a top business leader, but because my boss was. And it was an amazing experience going to those meetings, just seeing and hearing people like Bill and Hillary Clinton, Kofi Annan, Bono, Bill Gates, and many, many others. But it was particularly striking at those meetings, those World Economic Forum meetings, how many of the discussions, how many of the seminars at those meetings were concerned with this topic, how to get world peace. In fact, I remember one of the meetings I went to, they had an orchestra playing one evening, and it was the World Peace Orchestra. And that was about 5 years ago now. So I was interested quite recently to see in the Sunday Times, in their Life in the Day back page column, they had an article by Valery Gergiev, who is the conductor of the World Peace Orchestra. And listen to what he wrote. He said this. He said, I believe music can be a great ambassador for peace. It is a model for leadership, responsibility, and harmony. So he is passionate about achieving world peace. That is his whole goal in life, to achieve world peace. So listen to how, it's rather ironic actually, listen to how he finishes his article. He says this. He says, being a father has changed my music making and my dreams. Now Tamara, my little daughter, occupies more and more space in my dreams about the future. She's the biggest hope and also the biggest worry because she's so young. And the world is such an unsafe place. You see, he is working for peace, yet he is resigned to the fact that the world is far from peaceful. Such an unsafe place. So is peace possible in this world? It's a good question, isn't it? And all the more so, I guess, recently with the rise of terrorism and the countless wars and unrest in so many countries from Iraq and Afghanistan, and there is Israel and Lebanon and Uganda and Hungary and Burundi and Sudan, and the list could go on and on. In fact, I went on a Yahoo discussion board on the internet just the other day discussing this question, is world peace possible? And almost everybody that had written on that discussion board, almost everybody had said, world peace is possible? No. They said no. Almost all of them had answered no. Apart from two people. In amongst the many, many no's, there were two people who wrote yes. One of them said this, in answer to the question, is world peace possible? They said, yes. When everything is destroyed, then there would be peace with nobody alive to fight. And the other one wrote this. He said, yes, world peace is possible, but not ruled by man. It would have to be ruled by God directly. Now, those two get to the heart of the problem, don't they? They recognize the thing that stops world peace is us, humans. We muck things up. And it's not just at the world level, is it? It's at the relational level, too. I mean, you just have to look at the staggering statistics for divorce to know how difficult it is to have lasting peace just between two people. I wonder if you heard the story of the husband and wife who went on holiday to Jerusalem. And while they were there in Jerusalem, unfortunately, the wife died. Now, obviously, it was very sad, but the undertaker said to the husband, he said, well, you've got two choices, really. You can either get your wife shipped home for $5,000, or she can be buried here in Jerusalem for $150. Well, the man thought about it for a while, and then he said to the undertaker, I'd like to have my dead wife, I'd like to have her shipped home, please. Well, the undertaker was slightly surprised. He said, I'm surprised because why would you spend $5,000 to ship your wife home when you could have her buried here in the Holy Land? I mean, wouldn't that be so wonderful? You could have her buried here in the Holy Land, and it'll only cost you $150. Well, the husband replied, a long time ago, a man died here. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I can't take that risk with my wife. In fact, the Bible actually talks about three types of peace. It talks about a peace with others, just like I've been talking about, peace with others that may be at the world level or at the relational level. But the Bible also talks about a peace within us. Peace within us. That feeling of peace in our hearts, feeling peaceful about situations. And then it also talks about a third type of peace. It talks about peace with God. Peace with God. Being in a right relationship, at peace with the one who's made us. And as I say those three types of peace, I am sure that every single one of us here, instinctively, we want all three of those types of peace, don't we? We want those three types of peace. We long for peace with others. We long for peace in our hearts, within us. And if God exists, well, we don't want to be at loggerheads with God, do we? We want to be at peace with God. All of us, we yearn for all of those three types of peace. We yearn for them. The problem is we're just not quite sure where to find them. Well, this lunchtime, I'd love just to show you one sentence that Jesus said, which tells us where Jesus thinks peace can be found. Now, Jesus said this sentence. He said it the day before he was crucified. He was talking to his disciples, and he said this. It's John 16, verse 33. Let me read it. Jesus said, I have told you these things. And these things that he's referring to there, Jesus had been telling his disciples how he was going to die, how he was going to rise from the dead, how he was going to go back to heaven, how the Holy Spirit was going to be sent to those who follow Jesus. So Jesus says, I've told you these things about himself, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's an amazingly bold statement by Jesus, isn't it? He's saying, in the world we'll have trouble. But then he says, in him, in Jesus, you may have peace. So in the world, trouble. In Jesus, peace. Now, all of us here, we're all in the world, obviously, and so we all face trouble. We know that. I mean, life isn't plain sailing. All of us, we have concerns, we have difficulties, we have frustrations, we have troubles. And Jesus isn't denying that. In fact, if anything, he's saying that if you're a Christian, you probably face more troubles in this world because there are people who are very against those who follow Jesus. But he says, even then, in him, in Jesus, that's where peace can be found, in Jesus. That's where there's peace. Now remember our three types of peace. We've got peace with others, peace within us, and peace with God. Now the world says, doesn't it? The world says that above all, we need to work at peace with others. That is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on peace with others, on world peace. That is the fundamental. Get world peace, and then the other two flow from that. If you get world peace, then you're more able to have peace within yourself, individual peace, and you're more able to, if you want to, and if it floats your boat, you can have peace with God. Well, that's what the world says. But the Bible says something rather different. It says that the fundamental thing is not peace with others. It says the fundamental thing is peace with God. That is fundamental. Peace with God. Get peace with God, and then the other two flow from that. Now, all three of them are important. Of course they are. Peace with God, peace within us, peace with others. They are all important. But actually, peace with God needs to come first. So let's start there. As huge as the problems of war and unrest are in this world, the Christian claim is that the most significant warfare going on in the world at the moment is not between humans and humans, but it is between humans and God. We are out of relationship with our Maker, and we need to be reconciled. I remember a very sort of simple way of being shown this a while ago to me was that this. They're not very high quality graphics, but those are two chairs there. Okay, imagine the green chair is God, and the red chair is us. And initially, God and humans were at peace with each other, facing each other. But then, ever since the first humans decided they wanted to live their lives independent of God, we've all followed suit. And we've turned our backs on God. Now God is totally perfect. He is totally holy. God cannot look on human rebellion. And so what happens? Well, he turns his back on us. That is the situation at its worst, with those two chairs pointing in opposite directions. Now, God is totally holy, but he is also totally loving. And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross. Because God loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus willingly to die for us. Jesus died instead of you and me. Jesus, the innocent one, took the punishment for the rebellion of all us humans. And so with justice done, with the punishment paid for our rebellion, well, what happens? God, he can look on us again. That chair, it can turn round to face us. And so for peace between us and God, what needs to happen? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? For peace to happen between us and God, we need to turn round. That chair needs to turn round and face God again. Say thank you for Jesus dying on our behalf. And say we want to start out in a relationship with God. Now that is peace with God in Jesus. That is the fundamental. But of course, it impacts the other two types of peace. So take peace within us, peace within us. I guess the easiest way to describe that is that feeling of sort of resting your head on the pillow at night and knowing that whatever troubles you're facing, maybe relationship troubles, maybe health troubles, maybe work troubles, whatever, knowing that ultimately, despite those troubles, ultimately everything will be okay because we know ultimately we're at peace with God. So take what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi. He said this. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he's saying there, we can know the peace of God, peace within us. Even when there are loads and loads of troubles in our lives, we can know peace within us when we are in Christ Jesus. And then what about peace with others? Well, because we have peace with God, we want to have peace with others too. We'll work for peace, both on a relational level and at a world level. Now, I know horrifically non-peaceful things have been done in the name of Christianity at times in history, and that is a huge outrage. But the Christian should, in general, the Christian should be known to be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. That's what Christians should be known to be, peacemakers, not peace breakers. Now let's just be clear though, as we look at our main diagram again. Christians have total peace with God now. Christians have total peace with God now, but that is not the case with the other two types of peace. Peace within us, peace with others. We experience those only partially now. Not completely, just partially. But in the future, there is the promise of total peace within us, total peace with others. When Jesus returns, when he wraps up this world as we know it, well, then a new heaven and a new earth will be created. And world peace and personal peace, they will totally exist then. Now, we all yearn. We've said it. We all yearn for those three types of peace. We all yearn for them. Peace with God, peace within us, peace with others. We all yearn for those three types of peace. We want them, but how do we qualify for them? Well, just look again at what Jesus says. He says, in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. And so as we finish, I guess the one question for each of us here is very, very simple. The question is, are we in Jesus? That's how we get peace, if we're in Jesus. So that is the question for each of us. Are we in Jesus? God has, if you like, he has written a peace treaty between him and us. He has written a peace treaty, and he has signed that peace treaty. He signed it with the blood of Jesus. God thinks it is so important to have peace with you and me that Jesus died for me and for you. And so the question is, God signed the peace treaty, but will each of us sign that peace treaty? Will we sign that peace treaty? Not with our own blood. Of course not. Of course not with our own blood. But will we sign that peace treaty with a desire to entrust our lives into the hands of the one? Well, if you look at the verse, look at how it finishes. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. He says, I've overcome the world. Literally, that is, I have conquered the world. I've conquered the world. But Jesus has conquered the world, not like all other world conquerors by killing other people. Jesus has conquered the world by being killed himself. So will we entrust our life to him? His death was the means of making peace possible. Now, I'm going to finish there and hand back to Charmaine. But just to say, just before I do hand back to Charmaine, if you are here and you'd like to seal that peace treaty between you and God, can I suggest that you might do two things? One thing, you might just pick up this little booklet from me. It's called The Real Jesus. Do just come and pick that up from me on your way out before you head back to work. And on the back page of that, it's got a prayer you might like to pray to God. And then the second thing, on the feedback forms, there's two tick boxes there. You might like to tick that second tick box there. It says, I want to sign a peace treaty with God and start out a life trusting in Jesus. If that's you, do just please tick that box there. And then you might like to stick your email or your telephone number down there, and I can then just get in touch with you in the next few days just to see if I can help you in any way at all. But thank you very much indeed for listening.